Welcome to Right to Reason Podcast. I am your host, Robert Stanley. Today, we will be discussing cancel culture and the notoriously non-negotiable, noxious nomenclature known as the N-word.
It's the Right to Reason Podcast.
There's just, the spirit of the time on social media, again, especially on the left, and to our, you know, total dysfunction politically, is to never accept, I mean, there is no apology good enough, or there's, you know, the most cynical possible interpretation of your apology. It's like you're just trying to, the only reason why you're apologizing is because you want to save your job. I mean, we just need some, you know, recovery disc that we can reboot from here, because it's just not, this is going someplace terrible. And again, to look at it through the lens narrowly politically of, you know, over the next 2 years, it's to the massive disadvantage of the left.
Racism, we are not cured of.
Clearly.
And it's not just a matter of it not being polite to say nigger in public. That's not the measure of whether racism still exists or not. It's not just a matter of overt discrimination. We have to, societies don't overnight completely erase everything that happened 200 to 300 years prior.
I don't know how to talk to white people anymore. Like, how do you tell Eminem to calm down, you know? I told a white lady the other day why she can't use the N-word, and she cried, like into my chest, like we were breaking up. Like, and then I wrung that shirt out and used those tears for my spells. But like, what? I shouldn't have to do that.
I mean, this is the wokest day. That's what's kind of the absurdity of this.
To my experience as a super progressive, I've never seen it in action ever.
Yeah.
Why do you have to have your reputation destroyed?
When women come forward with an allegation, they are immediately not given the benefit of the doubt. The man who's being accused is given the benefit of the doubt.
Because regardless of any context, you shouldn't use that word.
Every single one's got a story to tell.
Okay.
Someone who said the fucking N-word, man.
Fair
That's
enough.
What he's known
I,
for. That's it. That's all the punishment he got.
So Brent is continuing tonight to ruin the guy's reputation.
Fuck you. You're just being a fucking cancel culture snowflake piece of shit.
This episode of the Right to Reason podcast is brought to you by our patrons and contributors like me. We have all recognized the value of the unrestrained marketplace of ideas and have decided to make a difference. You can make a difference too. Contribute at patreon.com/right and learn more about your right to reason at therighttoreason.com. Your activism is appreciated.
The term for people who have been thrust out of social or professional circles is called getting canceled. Recently, Barack Obama spoke about online denunciation, personal purity, and being politically woke. His words, he said, "If all you're doing is casting stones, you're probably not going to get that far." People like Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, Harvey Weinstein have all been canceled. Even, who was that guy that was on the Netflix show?
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. He got canceled. But then I heard that he actually, the person that he apparently he grabbed some kid's dick. But then I found out that it wasn't a kid, A, and then B, that like the kid was like texting his mom. And was like, "I'm going to try to get Kevin Spacey to grab my dick," or something like that. And the whole thing seemed like he might have been ousted unfairly. But I don't, you know, you never know with this stuff. That's the problem. So I'm hoping that all of you can help me out today. We got a full panel of guests. The Free Thought Prophet, that includes John Hamill and Seamus at the Free Thought Prophet, their YouTube channel. Brent Lee, he's got the podcast Unapologetics. And on YouTube, he's got the Happy Debating Atheist. So you can actually watch him debate other people. But also, he and Nikki make the cutest couple, and that's Unapologetics, and they're a lot of fun to listen to. And then, of course,
story.
We are fun, you know? We're fun.
Amy with a Y, the other part of the pair, so we don't have Amy with an I, but Amy with an I actually was on the Free Thought Prophet before, so
it's, yes,
it's all a small world. But Amy with a Y is here with us today, and she wants you to know that she would date herself.
Who wouldn't, to be honest?
But check out her podcast. It's called I'd Date Me. And then, of course, Secular Soup. You guys already know about that one. But check both those podcasts out. Folks, thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So starting with Kevin Spacey, is it possible that maybe people get treated unfairly with this thing and we all jump to conclusions and maybe find out later, hey, he didn't really do the thing, or maybe he did the thing, but it wasn't that bad. I seem to remember who was that comedian? Louis C.K.?
Louis C.K.
Yeah. And
so
go ahead.
Oh my God, I have so many things to say right now. I'm just, my ears are on fire over here. So Kevin Spacey, the Kevin Spacey issue. I am not an expert on his entire life story, but there have been serious allegations of him sexually assaulting teenagers. And one thing I feel like we hear a lot about is kind of what you said, where, you know, they weren't really a kid at the time. Being a teenager is still a kid. Like, I have a 16-year-old. I've been 16. I know what that's like. You're still taking advantage of a kid when you're doing that sort of thing. So I have no doubt that Kevin Spacey has done the things. There's more than one allegation against him.
Yeah.
With Louis C.K., I feel like people don't take it that seriously because he didn't rape somebody in a dark alley at knife point, which is what people seem to think rape is. He whipped out his dick and masturbated in front of some people, which sounds kind of hilarious when you say it like that, but it is not, let me assure you. So he did this to women who were trapped in a room with him, froze, had no, like, imagine somebody that you're in a room with just whipping out their dick and masturbating right in front of you. What are you supposed to do with that? Like, and the women he did this to quit comedy. They quit their careers. So it's not as if these are harmless things that are happening. I think too often we think, well, was it that bad? And I think in most cases, yeah, it was. It's just that we're just figuring out as a society that those are bad things to do.
No, well, I guess when you say, Amy, that this is a bad thing to do, I don't know anyone that disagrees with that, least of all Louis C.K. himself. I guess the issue on the Louis C.K., case and some of the others is whether the punishment fits the crime. So well, there's three issues as far as I can see with all of this cancel culture stuff. One is that we assume the guilt of people based on stories when none of us are investigators or none of us have all the evidence. So for example, I don't know the truth of the Louis C.K. story, but I know Louis C.K.'s side of it is that nobody was ever locked in a room or prevented for leaving. Maybe that's not true, but I don't know whether that's true or not. The second thing is, as I say, whether the punishment always fits the crime. So it seems like sometimes people have their careers ended without the possibility of being able to say, sorry, like a genuine remorseful apology, and making best efforts to make amends, it seems like, is never enough. And the third issue is when people get cancelled, it's not just that, I mean, if you take Louis C.K. or let's say Johnny Depp or any of these other cases, it's not just that people, I mean, nobody's forced to go to a Johnny Depp movie. If you don't want to see a Johnny Depp movie, then don't go. But the problem with cancel culture is that the decision is then made for other adults that they can't see Johnny Depp movies either. So when we go after people's employers and we insist that they be removed for this, that, or the other, then you're essentially making a decision for everyone else. You're not just saying, well, I don't like Johnny Depp, I'm not going to the next Johnny Depp movie. You're saying, I don't like Johnny Depp, and nobody's allowed to see the next Johnny Depp movie. So those are the reasons why I'm not a fan.
Hey, check out what Louis C.K. just said on his latest stand-up right after getting canceled.
These kids are nuts, but they're not. They're f***ing in. They're just boring. Tom, you shouldn't say that. What the f***? What are you, an old lady? What the f*** are you doing? It's not appropriate. F*** you. You're a child. Why aren't you finger f***ing each other and doing jello shots? Like, why aren't you? I don't know. They testify in front of Congress, these kids? Like, what the f***? What are you doing? You're young. You should be crazy. You should be unhinged. Not in a suit saying, I'm here to tell f*** you. You're not interesting. Because you went to a high school where kids got shot? Why does that mean I have to listen to you? How does that make you interesting? You didn't get shot. You pushed some fat kid in the way. And now I got to listen to you talking?
I'm still trying to figure out how he's doing stand-up comedy, because I thought he was...
He was
canceled and banished forever.
Yeah.
So,
sometimes when you get canceled,
I'm having a little cognitive dissonance here.
Yeah. They don't always really get canceled. Like John, you brought up Johnny Depp. He's still doing all right, I think, isn't he?
Well, some of his movies that he was contracted to appear in were stopped, but there's plenty of other cases. There's I don't know if you read the piece by Mike Tunison, who was a journalist in the Washington Post and was named on the shitty media man list. So in
yes.
So yeah, and as he described his case, there was an allegation made about him that he said isn't true. The allegation stated that a complaint was made about him and recorded on the HR files at the Washington Post. He says he went to the Washington Post, and there is no such complaint recorded, and he lost more or less all of the work that he had going. So, I don't quite buy into this idea that there are no consequences and that everyone's fine. Because if that's true, then why bother with all of these cancel campaigns? Why is there a hashtag cancel Johnny Depp if canceling has no effect and everyone's careers is fine? Then why bother?
So you want people to not react when things are done that they don't approve of?
No. I didn't say that. What I said was, if, for example, you don't want to, you don't like Johnny Depp because of the allegations, then you can react and decide not to go to any Johnny Depp movies.
Yeah. But so we're not allowed to talk about it, though. We gotta be quiet. We gotta just not see Johnny Depp movies, and we're not allowed to type anything into our phones.
No. Nobody said that either. To be honest, I think it's not. What I'm saying is, what I'm not comfortable with is the campaign to have people removed from their employment and their contracts cancelled. The people to blame for that, to be honest, aren't just the censorious woke people who don't want to hear anyone's voice anymore. The people to blame are, you know, commissioning editors and movie producers and everyone else who capitulate to woke people. So, yeah.
Okay, can I address the Mike Tunison issue? Because I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name, because honestly, I had never heard of him before this point, but... I did read the piece that he wrote in Medium where he talked about being put on that shitty men list, something I had also never heard of until I guess I read that article. And the thing that struck me about his case is a lot of times you hear people say that women are making up allegations when you talk about Me Too stories. They're making it up for the fame, for the, you know, they want to get attention. They're trying to get some attention. It seems to me like this guy is getting a hell of a lot more attention than he would have had he just not said anything and not done anything about this. It seems to me like the reason he's doing this is to get himself some attention. How do we know that he's not getting jobs because he was on that list? There is no proof that he is not getting jobs because employers are afraid to hire him, because nobody has ever said that. No employer has told him, you're just too hot to handle, we don't want to employ you. And yet now that he's being talked about and he did that thing on Medium, now he's been able to actually get a few jobs doing freelance writing. So I honestly question this dude's motives in this.
He was published in the Washington Post regularly, and then he wasn't published in the Washington Post regularly. So you can say
maybe he's a shitty writer.
Well, yeah. Maybe.
I mean, what's your proof? Like, did they tell him that's why they didn't?
Okay. Maybe the Washington Post thought he was a wonderful writer and published him regularly until the allegation was made on the shitty men's list, and then all of a sudden completely unrelatedly, they decided he was a shitty writer. I have no proof of that. That's entirely possible. Or maybe they discovered he's a lizard from another dimension. We have no proof of that either. This is the
position where... Well, it makes about as much sense to me as why a woman would make up an allegation just because. We have this double standard where when women come forward with an allegation, they are immediately not given the benefit of the doubt. The man who's being accused is given the benefit of the doubt. But in this situation, in some situations like this, we're expected to just believe the guy's account of it with no proof. We don't have proof to back up what it is that he's claiming happened, but we're giving him the benefit of the doubt. Why is that, I guess? Why is it that women are not given the benefit of the doubt, but men usually are, and his motives aren't being questioned here, where a woman's motives are being questioned if she brings... And I'm speaking generally, not just about his, that one accuser. I'm saying more broadly, this seems to be the pattern that gets followed.
Yeah, and in this case, when you talk about believing Mike Tunison, Amy, I mean, what he said is he listed the publications where he regularly had work and contracts. And when the shitty media man list was published, all of those sources of revenue dried up. So I think we can take that as one piece of evidence. Maybe it's not entirely dispositive, but when you say the woman isn't being believed, I mean, in this case, we have an allegation from an anonymous person. We don't know who the woman is. We don't know have any dates. It's just a statement that this guy did some shitty thing, a vague statement. And we also have evidence that the major factor in the allegation, that it was registered in the HR files of the Washington Post, that seems not to be true. So at least one part of the allegation seems to be false. Now, I mean, when you make the broader point, I mean, I don't think most women are telling lies. I don't think we should automatically assume that women are telling lies. I think it's a good idea to give accusers the benefit of the doubt. But that's not the same as saying women never lie. And that's not the same as saying that we should ruin someone's career without good evidence. If women need to be given the benefit of the doubt, I completely agree with that. But I don't see why we can't give Mike Tunison the benefit of the doubt when he's provided what seemed to be some compelling details about what happened to him.
I'm just very curious. Generally speaking, because I kind of like where you went with that, Amy, where you were saying, you know, let's not dig into each person, because I wanted to bring up David Silverman as well. But we did like a whole episode on that. If anybody listening is wondering about that.
Oh, I heard it.
Free Thought Profits.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
Yeah, they spoke with Felicia Entwistle. It got pretty crazy. So if you haven't heard that already, you might want to check that out. But at the risk of, you know, getting into like each detail of each person's life or what have you, on the general topic, do you, Brent, and you, Amy, do you guys think that women lie about sexual assault sometimes?
Well, I think we have numbers on this, and I really should have gotten them, I guess, and written them down before we went on here. But I believe the estimate is 2% of sexual assault claims turn out to be fabricated. 2%. That's a pretty low percentage. Nobody obviously is claiming that women never, ever, ever lie about something like this. There could be a situation, and I've known people that have been in situations where a woman did make up a story to fuck up the guy's life somehow because she was getting back at him because they had a bad breakup. It has happened. Nobody's going to say that it hasn't ever happened in the history of humanity. Right. But what we're saying is that more times than not, there is no good reason for a woman to come forward with these allegations. So why is she making them unless it's something that happened that she wants to talk about? I mean, most women don't. Amy and I just did an episode, a couple episodes back, about abuse and sexual assault and talked about our own stories and why we never came forward and talked about it. And it's mostly because of this type of thing. You know, you can't provide good proof. You just won't be able to in these situations. So you kind of have to go on what the person is telling you. And if it were a different crime, if it weren't sexual assault, if it were robbery or something, and somebody came into the police station and said, somebody just stole my purse, people wouldn't immediately go, but did they? I mean, do you have proof for that? Like, but when it comes to a rape victim, it's we better question her motives, because she could be doing this for any number of reasons. It's, I think nobody that's a good wants analogy. Great fame.
And hold on, one. Like, that's
a good analogy, Amy. But if, so let in general terms, I agree with almost everything that you've said there, and I suspect the number of false allegations might even be less than that. Let's say it's 1% instead of 2%. To my mind, that means that if a woman reports a sexual assault, you should definitely take that super seriously, and your default position should be there's no good reason for this person to make this up, so we need to follow through on the process diligently and do your best to sort everything out. But it still doesn't mean that someone's career should be ended at that point. And if you take the analogy that you made to someone stealing the handbag, if someone comes into a police station and says, my handbag was just stolen, I mean, exactly as you say, there's very little reason that someone would just make that up for no reason. But if they go into the police station and say, someone just stole my handbag, his name's Bob, you don't put Bob in jail just because the woman says so. I mean, you don't sack Bob. You don't go around all Bob's contracts and fire him just because the woman says so.
You also don't immediately say, I know Bob, he's a good guy. Go away, this never happened, and just ignore
her.
Like,
Brent
was trying to make a point.
Go ahead, it's also Brent. The fact that we don't have like a demonstrable amount of evidence of this shit happening in the past. Like, if there were a billion cases of people exactly like Bob taking handbags, you know, at the place, you know, maybe, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, we have an example of this shit happening constantly. You know what I mean? And so it's like we can see this through history, and this is the patterns of behavior of humans. In a way, it's almost like saying, has there ever been a time when an LGBTQ person has mistreated somebody wearing a cross around their neck when they came into their store? Yeah, I'm sure that's happened. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure that's happened once or twice. Right. But that's not the majority of the time. And it's because the power lies on the other side.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in there, Brent.
No, you're good.
If we could go back to Bob, though, for just a second. I love that we picked Bob as a name. That's fun. So, Bob, you just said, you know, well, we know Bob has done this in the past. Well, that's another strike, too. I mean, that's another attempt at looking at, well, if Bob's, you know, stolen bags from people before, then he must have done it before. You know, I mean, he's obviously done this situation. We shouldn't look at it any other way, right? I mean, that's wrong. I mean, it's happened more than once where people have accused people wrongfully of stealing things because they knew that that person would be considered untrustworthy and be labeled as being a simple criminal and not be considered, you know, anything other than that.
Okay, sure. But in most cases, what is the good reason that – and I want to say at the outset, I am generalizing by saying sure. Women and men, but it's for the purposes of what we're discussing. I know that men are also abused. I know that non-binary people are also abused, but just for the purposes of what I'm trying to get across, what is the good reason that women have to make these allegations up in the numbers that we seem to be concerned about? Because I don't want anybody to be falsely accused of anything either. I think that's one of the worst things that can happen to you. But the way we talk about it and the way that we hand-wring over it and, oh, these poor men, their careers are being ruined. What is the reason these women have to come forward, do you think? Do you think they're going to make money? Do you think it's going to further their – like, why? Why is this happening?
I think you're assuming, Amy, when you say you're worried about all of these men, I think your assumption is, or what seems to be embedded there, is that we think all of these men are innocent. I mean, when you go through all of those cases, let's say the Mike Tunison case, I'm not convinced that Mike Tunison is innocent. I don't know whether he's innocent or guilty.
But you give him the benefit of the doubt. He's the party that gets the benefit of the doubt in that situation.
That's right, because he's the guy who's just about to lose his career. So we tend to have a certain level of predication that is required before we take onerous steps against a person, because in the alternative, if you just say, well, sure, very, very few women would make anything up, then why bother with courts? I don't mean that facetiously. I mean right. that very, very specifically. No. Why bother with courts? Just lock them all up.
They're not going to prison or anything. That's not the result of this type of shit is not fucking prison. That's why we don't have courts,
okay.
man.
That's true, Brent. That's true, Brent. Okay. So let's just sack them all. And anyone who has an accusation made against them, let's sack them from their job and make sure they can't get another job for the rest of their life. What's wrong with that?
Okay, so just for clarification purposes, because I feel like this is kind of getting muddy, what's the specific thing that we are debating? Is it that people are too often getting fired from their jobs, or is it that people are too often being ignored on social media and that's wrong? Like, what is the major complaint about cancel culture that we want to debate, I guess?
Yeah,
there's three to my mind. One is often the punishment doesn't seem to fit the crime. The second, we often seem come to conclusions before we have sufficient evidence. And the third is that where the request is for people to lose their jobs, or I guess we know about the cases in the media because they're in the media, then people like Johnny Depp and things like that, or you can talk about Louis C.K., when you cancel people in that way, then you're not just making the decision yourself that you don't want to see any more Johnny Depp movies because you think he behaved badly. You're saying no one else should be allowed to see any Johnny Depp movies. You're making the decision for other adults in terms of what they can watch and what they can't.
Is that a thing that happens?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a whole other wave to this. Is also
people that, don't watch a Johnny Depp movie.
Yes, and also not only that, if you are seen with or somehow acknowledge something positive of Johnny Depp, you are there for making rape okay or whatever his sin of the day. Okay? I mean, this is the wokest day. That's what sets what's kind of the eternity of this.
As a super progressive, I've never seen it. In action ever.
Yeah. I think a lot of this revolves around the spaces that all of us occupy. Like, obviously, sure. Brent and I are more connected to a lot of, you know, quote unquote SJW types, and we talk with them and we hear their stories, and you two probably aren't as connected with those people. And so you're, you know, it's just a byproduct of hanging out with certain people. But yeah in the most woke places I've been in, I've never heard someone say, you can't ever say anything good about that person ever again because they have an accusation of rape. Like, that's, we understand that there is nuance. There's nuance to things.
Let me give you an example.
Okay. All right.
Well, Seamus can describe the details, but there was the radio announcer for, I think it was the Colts, Seamus.
Yes.
He lost his job. So in that circumstance, it wasn't the case that the woke people said, I don't like that announcer, I'm going to listen to a different announcer instead. They went contacted his employer, the guy was sacked, and now nobody can listen to him. So the idea that nobody ever loses their job, or nobody ever is cancelled in that way because woke people are so nuanced, I just don't think that's true.
I read that story, and I mean, first of all, that guy in that situation was about, I think they said, 3 days away from retiring. This guy was not taken away from everybody because of this allegation. He was about a week away from retiring, and you're right that his employers probably just thought, this might be a sticky situation we don't want to deal with. Why don't you just go ahead and retire early? They didn't fire him. He didn't lose anything. He retired early. And it wasn't the ubiquitous they that came to get him. It wasn't the social. It was one person at a radio station making a complaint that she felt was a valid complaint. And honestly, the idea of using the N-word, like, I think as adults, most of us should know at this point that just don't fucking say it. If you're white, just don't say it. I don't care what context it's in. It's not our word. We've come to this position over time. And it's kind of a social contract we all have. This guy, I'm sorry, he should have known that too. He shouldn't be put in jail. He shouldn't be, you know, removed from his family and taken out and shot and never talked about good. But what was the consequence? He retired a week early. And nobody talks. I haven't heard of him.
Who's we? Who's we that signed this social contract? I don't remember seeing a copy.
All of society, basically. So would you say that it's socially acceptable to just use the N-word? Is that okay?
Well, you said that the context doesn't matter, and I think it does.
I didn't say that.
Not anything close to what she fucking said, man.
Context does matter, but in this situation, using the N-word, like if my son...
Sorry if I misheard. We can rewind it back. But I think that's exactly the term that you used, but maybe I'm wrong or I misheard. So I apologize if I misheard. Okay.
You know what? No, I did. You're right. I did say, regardless of the context, you shouldn't use that word. So that is fair. I did, in that sense, say I don't care because a lot of times we do.
That's appropriate because regardless of any context, you shouldn't use that word.
Well, hang on a minute, Brett. 2 seconds ago, you were saying
that you're referring to,
man.
This guy's context was, because, again, I read the story. He was not calling anybody that word. He wasn't telling a racist joke. He was repeating something somebody else had said. So he was relaying a story when he knew he wasn't on the air. He checked to make sure he wasn't on the air. And then he went ahead and told a story that somebody else said. And he repeated the word while telling the story. So I think we can all agree that the context wasn't him trying to be harmful. But at this point in history, we should all realize that that's just not something we do. I mean, societies do progress. You would agree with that, right? There are certain things that on a societal level, we just kind of agree are not okay anymore. Like,
and N-word means the same thing. You don't have to fucking say the word. It's real easy. Like, I don't understand. Like, what? Why?
Yeah, I just think he should have known enough to know that this is where we've gotten. I have a 15-year-old who I've discussed this with, and he gets confused about why certain people online, you know, why people get so mad if they use the N-word. They didn't mean it in a bad way, or they only said it once. But my son knows he's not supposed to use the fucking word, and he wouldn't. So I don't worry about him being online saying it. It's not going to accidentally slip out of his mouth because he knows it's wrong. And why is that such a high bar to cross, I guess, specifically talking about the N-word?
Well, hey, I think this is an example of what I was talking about in terms of both the punishment fitting the crime, because the context that you described, Amy, to me, that just makes it worse. I mean, this is a guy, he was 3 days away from his retirement. And instead of just letting the guy wait 3 days and retire, and then no one would have heard anything else about it, even though, as you say, there was absolutely no harm in what he was doing. He wasn't trying to hurt anyone. He was simply recounting a story in which he was saying, explaining how shocking it was when someone used that word. And even though he was only 3 days away from his retirement, he couldn't just retire and go and sit and have a beer in peace. He had to be fired. He had to be sacked.
He was not fired.
Now his name's in the paper. His name's all across the media who lost his job because...
Never heard of this guy until you put him on the list. Never. He was not fired. He retired early. He still did the exact same thing he was going to do 3 days later. He retired. And I think one point that we're missing...
Someone
who said the fucking N-word, man.
So Brent is continuing now to ruin the guy's reputation, even though there was absolutely no harm in what he said.
Okay,
it's the fact that he was saying a word that you should know not to say.
Here's the point I want to make about the harm. There is harm. This wasn't something that was of no harm. I did say I don't think he intended there to be harm. There is still harm. The person that reported this to her supervisor was a Black woman. And I, you know, in thinking about this before we did this debate, it occurs to me that there are just things that you and I are never, ever, ever going to be able to understand because we don't live it. So I am not Black. Brent is not Black. We will fundamentally never understand what it's like to hear that word on a repeated basis and what that does to your state of mind or how that harms you as a person, we'll never know. And so it's easy enough for us to just say, okay, well, you're telling us that it's harmful. We'll just, it's a word. We'll just stop fucking saying it. In the same way that you as men are never, ever going to fundamentally understand what it's like for a woman to grow up being constantly told that she is lying about sexual things, that she shouldn't talk about them, that it's, you know, there's this bias here that you don't want to acknowledge, I think. And you seem to be operating under the assumption that everybody should have the same exact answer for every experience. And
no, I never said that.
You know, like,
I said the opposite to that. I said it's the context that matters, that each different experience is unique mm-hmm. in itself and can be treated differently. And mm-hmm. we don't have to have this one rule which says anyone who utters the magic two syllables have to have their reputation destroyed.
And, so then who gets to make those rules? Who makes those rules?
You're telling people they can't feel something, some type of way about when somebody says something, it's fucked up. You're saying they don't have the right to feel some type of way.
I didn't say that, Brent. What I said was...
Okay, then repeat what you said.
What I said was, as both you and Amy, Brent, have said before we come on air, black people hear that word all the time in contexts that aren't intended to cause anyone harm. Mm-hmm. And I think this was a context in which it wasn't intended to cause anyone harm. We should judge the use of the word primarily based on the intent. So if a guy says the word and someone else nearby heard it and was made to feel uncomfortable, then she should absolutely apologize and promise not to do it again and explain the context. But if the context is a guy telling a story about how shocking it was when someone used that word, then I think in that context, it was appropriate for him to apologize to the person who complained, promise not to do it again, learn and understand what the potential difficulties are, even in the context that he used it. And I don't think it's necessary that this man has to have his reputation destroyed.
Yeah, and I mean, did he have a reputation of being a racist? There's no example of that either. And if he had been telling a story about somebody saying something and they used a racial slur about a Jewish person, would this be discussed the same way? I mean, are we not allowed to say?
So.
Are we people are allowed to say slurs of other ethnicities, and it's not that, it's just only that word that seems to have this higher power. It's kind of like we're living in the Harry Potter world where you're not allowed to say that name, right? I mean, that's just what seems to be just a little bit ridiculous with it. Again, I acknowledge that the baggage that's with that word is an issue, and I understand that. And I'm not, you know, chastising that out, or, you know, casting aside, rather. But, I mean, I think context matters. I mean, can you not read Huck Finn out loud? If I want to read something that Dr. Dre sang, do I have to, you know, mix up the rhymes?
So,
you're singing those rhymes. Yes.
I went to
a good panel.
They can be upsetting to certain people. Hold and on. To me, I think somebody that I know is the most sensitive about these things. And I do what I know that I don't do what I know would upset them. If I put in my mind that, like, the person that would be the most, like, that would be the most sensitive about these things because maybe they had an experience that made them more sensitive about it, I'm going to take them as my fucking litmus test as to what I should and should not say.
Brent, okay, I gotta key in on this one just from a personal thing, and I know I'm sidewinding the conversation, sorry, but I had a patron reach out to me recently and say that I screwed up big time. They said, wow. Hey, you played a rap song on your podcast, and it had the N-word in it, and you should not have played that part. You should have beeped out the N-word that the rapper said. And I wasn't taken aback.
But you didn't say the word.
Yeah, I was very fascinated by that thought because my wife told me the same thing. You know, so it's here I've got
your,
two.
Your wife said you shouldn't have played that song because it had the N-word in it?
Well, she said I should have bleeped it out because she's saying that word's offensive. And now I've got a patron of the show. So I mean, it's not just a
even
friend.
If a black guy says it?
Yeah, it was a black guy. But it's I can't remember which rapper it was, but it was like a famous rapper. But, you know, they all say the N-word. But the point is that. But the point is, like, I got a little heat from someone that appreciates the show and then someone that, like, you know, is a very close person to me, obviously. And it made me think about it. And I thought, like, but they intended that word in their song. So is it wrong for me to replay it then?
I honestly don't think so. I think that you, that it would have been okay. But I need to talk to Nikki or a person of color who has more understanding of these.
So I have a good anecdote for this. I, a couple of years ago, went to a Secular Women Work conference and I listened to a panel, and it was a panel about trans people. And somebody in the audience asked the question, because they were talking about misgendering people, calling them by the wrong gender, not using the correct pronouns. And so somebody in the audience said, what about intent? What if my intent isn't bad? Like, I say it, but I didn't mean to, and the intent to be harmful isn't there. What do we do with that? And the person who responded said, intent matters, but it's not magic. Meaning, it does matter. It does make a difference that you didn't intend harm, but it's not magic in that it can make the other person just not feel any way about it. Like, they're still going to feel bad that you did it. That doesn't mean that they think you're a terrible person. They would hope that you don't do it again. And they would hope that if they've told you, and many, many, many of them have told you, please don't do this thing, that you just don't do this thing. Like, when a lot of people, yeah, like most people I know are totally fine with, let's give this person a chance to, you know, make amends for what they did. But I don't think we get to all use the cop out all the time of, but my intent was there, because we do still need to learn from people that this is what hurts them. You know, I'm not Black, I never will be. And so I'm going to listen to people who are Black who are telling me that that hurts them, that they find that hurtful. And it's very easy for me to go, okay, I'll just not say that word. It's something I can do very easily.
The one thing we're asking.
I don't need the word.
But I understand that. But Brent just said, when he was asked a question there, more or less the same thing. He would have to go and ask a person of color whether this is okay or not. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. In that scenario.
If what where I'm getting to with that is, Brent doesn't know the rules. If the announcer for the Colts or whoever it was didn't know the rules, what happens if you say something and you don't realize that it was offensive? Why is it not just enough to say, I'm sorry about that, I've learned my mistake, I won't do it again? Why do you have to have your reputation destroyed? This is why I think very often the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
Do matter, though, man, because people have made apologies and they've been fine. I mean, for an example, like, oh, my favorite band in the world had gotten canceled. They were fucked up on stage, and it's no effects. They were playing at a punk rock bowling in Las Vegas. They made a joke just 8 months after a mass shooting that, hey, you know what? At least it wasn't punk rock fans that got murdered. You know, at least they were country fans.
Oh, the Las Vegas shooting. Okay.
Yeah.
You remember that? Yeah. I'm sorry.
And so they got fucking basically canceled. You know what I mean? And a year, like, I mean, it's been like, I don't know, I want to say like about a year, and they're back, they're fine, because they apologized. They wrote songs in apology, they did all these things to basically demonstrate how sorry they were, that they were just fucked up, and they said something wrong, and that's it. And people forgave them. They're touring in the U.S. again, which they weren't, and they have all their sponsors back, you know, because they did that apology, you know?
Self-reflection. Is really all it, like, the one thing Louis C.K. did not do, he wrote this fantastic statement that did not include an apology anywhere. It included a lot of reasons for what he did. It didn't actually apologize to anyone. And that's part of the problem. I know there's the example of Dan Harmon, who I am not as familiar with as other people, but he got into trouble for some sexual harassment. And he apparently came back with an amazing apology where he was genuine and he worked to be better. Like, he did something to try to actually become better as a person and learn from what he did. And everybody enthusiastically welcomed him back into the community. Like, yep. It was one of those situations where he did do what he was supposed to do, and everyone said, good, that's what you were supposed to do. You're still a human. You will still watch your content. And
it's the doubling down that makes it problematic, really, when you just double down and go, no, fuck you, I can say whatever the fuck I want, fuck well, you. I You're mean, just being a fucking cancel culture snowflake piece of shit.
Firstly, I think Louis C.K. did issue a statement in which he admitted that what he did was wrong and he expressed remorse for it. And secondly, if it was the case that, you know, this guy in the Colts could have just apologized and no one would have heard about it, I think that would have happened. If it's the case that a genuine, contrite apology is enough to deal with these things, then I wouldn't have any problem with it. And I guess a lot fewer people would get cancelled. I mean, I'm generally not aware of a huge number of cases where someone has been cancelled and turned around and doubled down, as you say, Brent, and said, fuck you, I'm going to say it again.
Trump.
That's because in most cases, Trump. They haven't done that. Trump. I mean...
Thank you to Amy, Brent, Seamus, and John. Thank you to Dave Blair at DaveBlairMusic.com. Thank you to our patrons. You can support this broadcast at patreon.com/right and learn more at therighttoreason.com. That was the first part of a very long and controversial conversation. Next week, we'll be hearing the follow-up of this debate. Part two, it gets crazier, but it ends with some common ground, which is often terra incognito with this particular topic. I'm really happy and surprised with how it turns out. Between now and then, remember that you have the right to reason.